Now, I wonder if you can recognize any of these symbols, okay? What about this one, first of all? What do we reckon? Yep, Nyla? Facebook, that's right. What about this one? Twitter? This one, I didn't really know what this one was, yep. Snapchat, that's right. And this final one. What's that one? Yep. Instagram. Okay, great. We know in a world filled with social media and YouTube stars, with things like Facebook and Twitter and Snapchat and Instagram at our fingertips, following other people, it kind of seems like the in thing to do nowadays, doesn't it? Pop stars like Selena Gomez or Ariana Grande, they top the list of these celebrities that we follow, as well as footballers like Cristiano Ronaldo. And there are actresses and comedians as well, and even the odd ex-president like Barack Obama. And they update us, don't they, with what's happening in their lives and their views on what's happening around the world. They post pictures of themselves and what they're up to at the time. And then we like their posts, don't we? And we might even add the odd emoji in there just to show how we're feeling about it all. And these so-called celebrities and sports stars, between them, they have millions and millions of different followers. And if you want to know who has the most followers across all of the different social media networks, that honour goes to this guy. Who's this? Justin Bieber, that's right. He has, or he had, so I think this research was done a year or two ago, he had 294 million followers around the world. It seems like we are a society that is just addicted to following other people and finding out what's going on in their lives. So what about when it comes to following Jesus? Well, at the very start of his ministry, he called 12 specific men to follow him. And then over the next 3 years, many others became his disciples, his followers. And what's so amazing about all of this was that in Jesus' day, not just anyone could become a disciple. In Jesus' day, Jewish children, they would go to school, and between the ages of 6 and 10, they would have memorized the first 5 books in the Bible. Isn't that incredible? They would have memorized the first 5 books in the Bible. By the age of 10, they would have known what Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy all were. And they would have been able to speak them aloud. Now, I find it difficult just to remember what those first 5 books in the Bible are, let alone what's contained within them. And what would happen is that at the age of 10, most children, they would then leave school and they go off to learn a trade, maybe it be carpentry or needlework or fishing or something like that. But the best of the best, they would stay on at school and continue their learning. And by the age of 15, these particular children who had stayed on would have memorized the entire Old Testament. That's right the way from the book of Genesis in the beginning, right the way through to the book of Malachi at the end of the Old Testament. And they would have been able to repeat it off by heart. It's incredible, isn't it? Now, at this stage, once again, the majority of children would then go off to learn a trade. But the best of the best of the best, the elite, the very select few, they would stay on and they would learn to be a rabbi's disciple. You see, in Jesus' day, only the smartest, only the cleverest people got to be a disciple. And so when Jesus, this Jewish rabbi, this Jewish teacher, when he shows up at the very start of his ministry, and he then invites a mixture of fishermen and other tradesmen to follow him, well, this is all very strange indeed. It was completely unheard of. These kind of men, they weren't the smartest. They weren't the best. They weren't exceptional in any way, shape, or form. They were the school dropouts, if you like. They were people, ordinary people, like you and I. You see, when Jesus turned up, he turned this exclusive religious club, as it were, into a Christian family that is all-inclusive, that embraces everyone. What Jesus says when he calls his disciples is this: you don't have to be anything special. You don't have to be considered the best by the world. I want you, everyday, ordinary people, to come and follow me. The reality is, the truth is, that Jesus calls ordinary people to follow him. And he takes those ordinary people and he helps them, he enables them to do extraordinary things. Over the last few weeks here at Surrey Chapel, in the morning services, we've been specifically looking at the life of a guy called Peter, Simon Peter. And he was a fisherman, and he became one of Jesus' disciples. And we've been following, haven't we, the ups and downs in his life as a follower of Christ. And as we've seen, Peter, he was quite a character, often putting his foot in it with the kind of things that he said, but also stepping out in faith when others around him wouldn't. But probably his biggest failure to date was that he denied knowing the Lord Jesus, not once, but three times, soon after Jesus had been arrested. Ironically, just as Jesus had said he would. And since then, Jesus has been falsely accused and he's been put to death on a cross. But as we're celebrating today, he had then, 3 days later, risen from the grave. We know Peter at this point, as you can imagine, is filled with sadness, having let Jesus, his friend and his saviour, down so badly. And so to clear his head and probably to get some food, some breakfast, the Bible tells us that Peter went out on his boat. He went out early in the morning with some of his friends on the Sea of Galilee to catch some fish. But the Bible tells us that he couldn't. And then someone on the shore called out to him and tells him to cast his nets on the other side of the boat. And in a scene very reminiscent of the first time that Jesus called Peter to follow him, when Peter obeys the Lord's command, the net becomes so full of fish that they just can't pull it in. Well, at this point, Peter, he recognizes just who it is who is standing there calling him from the shore. And so he leaps out of a boat and he wades to shore himself. And once his friends have got there too, they all enjoy breakfast together, a feast of fish and bread. And then Jesus, he asks Peter three times, "Do you love me? Do you love me?" Three times. Once for each of the three times that Peter had previously denied him. There were three denials and there are three affirmations. And then, having explained that life wasn't going to be at all easy for Peter, Jesus says these words again. Just two. Follow me. So what does it take to become a follower of Jesus? I mean, as we've seen, to follow a celebrity nowadays, as we thought about earlier, it doesn't take much, does it? We just need to simply subscribe to their page. But you know, the Bible tells us that following Jesus takes a lot more than just liking a page or joining a group. That it's not at all as superficial as all that. In fact, following Jesus, it's a lifetime's journey. So what does it take to follow Christ? Well, perhaps I can put it this way. Throughout Holiday Club this week, as we've already been thinking about, we travelled the world, didn't we? And we've seen Jesus during his last week leading up to Easter Day itself. And some of you might have noticed that flip-flop, he was carrying something on his back, wasn't he? So for those of you who are here at Holiday Club, what was flip-flop carrying on his back? Yep, Anna? A rucksack. That's right, okay? You know, like flip-flop, we are each carrying a rucksack through life. And it's filled with all kinds of different things. Things that weigh us down and hold us back. Things that make life often difficult for us. Things that don't actually please God. Stuff that the Bible calls sin. Now, I've got a rucksack that I've brought over with me today, and it is pretty heavy, okay? I'm not going to ask any of you to lift it. But I've brought a rucksack here with me today, which has got lots of different things in it, okay? So would you like to see what they are? Yeah? Let's open this rucksack up. So first of all, the things we carry around with us. Lying. Who's ever lied? Who's ever told a lie? I know I have. Put that down there. What about this one? Who's ever got angry with their brothers or their sisters? Maybe they've done something and you're annoyed at them for it. It's another weight, isn't it, that we carry around with us? Oh, this is a long one. Disobedience. Who's ever done something that their parents had told them not to do? I know I have again. What about that one? Greed. Who's ever put their hands back in the cookie jar when they were told not to? Okay. Or maybe you've been involved in this, bullying. Lots and lots of different things that weigh us down. And before we begin the Christian journey, before we become followers of Jesus, he calls us to unpack these things from our lives, to come to God and ask him to forgive us for these things, and to leave them then at the foot of the cross, and to carry on following him. But you know, throughout our lives, as we follow Jesus, we still have this rucksack on our back. Sometimes the Lord points out to us things that we didn't know when we first came to him, things that still don't please him. And so we have to take this rucksack off our back, and perhaps these are things like swearing. Perhaps we're still involved in swearing. The Lord says, no, I don't want you to be doing that. And so we have to put that again at the foot of the cross. Or maybe we're involved in things like being selfish. And again, we put it there. And we confess these things to God and we leave them at the cross. But you know, sometimes, even then, we can pick up these things again, can't we? Sometimes, from time to time, we might swear. We kind of put that back in our rucksack, don't we? And it weighs us down again. But Jesus tells us that we need to come to him and ask him for his forgiveness. Again, put it back at the cross and he will forgive us. You see, the Christian life, it's a journey, isn't it? And at the very start of that relationship, we need to put those things to one side. But sometimes we do tend to pick them up again and take them with us. Being a Christian, it's about having a relationship with the God of the universe, with our Creator. And Jesus, he tells us to turn away from these things for our benefit as much as anything else and to follow him. And then he promises that he will transform us into the kind of people that he would have us be. You know, Peter, as we heard earlier, after he had denied the Lord three times, he went back to fishing, didn't he? He went back to his old way of life. And yet Jesus, having been raised from the dead, he comes and finds him, doesn't he? Sitting there in that boat, Jesus on the shore, and he calls him once again to follow him. And what does Jesus say to him? Well, having asked Peter three times, "Do you love me?" Jesus then says, "Feed my lambs, take care of my sheep, feed my sheep." You see, this one-time fisherman, he was destined to become a shepherd, just like the Lord Jesus himself. Jesus was calling Peter to take care of people, just like a shepherd takes care of his sheep. And so as one of his followers, Jesus was giving Peter a completely new identity here. Peter was no longer going to be a fisherman. He was going to be a shepherd, looking after people and telling them all about Jesus. As we can see, Peter had his life completely transformed by Christ. And the wonderful news for us here today in the 21st century is that we can too. We can have our lives transformed. When we become Christians, when we turn to Christ, when we give him our lives, then we are no longer slaves to sin. Instead, we become one of his children, one of his sons and daughters. How amazing is that? And that's really what Easter is all about. It's all about new beginnings, having a new life in Christ. So let me finish by asking, are you following Jesus? Yeah. Hopefully you are. But if you aren't, just challenge yourself with that question. But if you are, also challenge yourself with this question. I need to challenge myself with it as well. Am I following Jesus? Am I loving him each day as he calls me to?